47 Oak Street in Winsboro. This is an oral history taken of Mrs. Grace Bowman, who lives at 47 Oak Street in Westboro. Mrs. Bowman has lived here for many, many years, and when this was a farm, and she has memories of this section of Westboro. One of the first things I'd like to ask her is what she remembers of Chauncey Pond, Lake Chauncey, and the ice house.
Well, because the ice house was a big place where, over the other side of where Johnson's house is now. And the men folks used to all get together and go over there and cut ice with the, and put the hard, they cut with a big saw. Mm-hmm. And then use the horses to pull it in and bring it home, and they store it out in our own ice house and put sawdust in between each cake, and then they'd use it in the milk house afterwards.
I see. Now, who owned this ice house in at Lake Chauncey?
I think Mr. Rogers owned the ice house, but we didn't use that. We used our own.
Used your own. Mm. But he would have an ice house then that he stored his own ice.
Yes, he'd have men work. Well, my husband worked over there to help him sometimes. But the three brothers here, Albert and Charles and Leslie, worked on their own ice houses and filled up their own.
And the ice would have to be a certain thickness before they'd go out and cut it.
Or they could cut it, enough to hold a horse up.
And they'd have a special saw. Right?
Yes, a big saw that they'd cut it with. And I don't think they ever cut anything less than 12 inches.
And the horse would then pull the ice
in, bring the ice in, and they'd put it in the wagon and bring it home and store it in the ice house.
Mm-hmm. And as far as Mr. Rogers went, he would then pack the ice in sawdust in his ice house?
In the big ice house, and they bring it down there with their big wagons, and which would have two horses on it, and put the ice in it, and go around town and peddle it. And the men would have a rubber blanket on their back and put the ice on their back and take it into the houses as people wanted, a 5-cent piece or a 10-cent piece.
And that would be the ice man.
Yes.
And he carried tongs, right?
Tongs, he had tongs.
And he'd pick the ice up in big blocks and carry it on his rubber blanket into a house, and then
leave it in their refrigerator.
And how did the refrigerator work?
Well, you had to make sure the pan underneath was emptied. If you didn't, you'd have trouble on the floor.
Where did the block of ice go?
In the top, as a rule. Mm-hmm. Most always in the top. And then the coal went down through, and you stored stuff, and then there was a pipe that went from the ice that drained down to the pan underneath.
And you'd have to empty that ice.
Every day and sometimes twice.
Which was a messy job.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
So that the ice man would go around with his horse and wagon and then would deliver ice at different homes.
And he always had a scales on the back where he'd weigh the ice to know how much he was getting.
I see.
And many a time we've all jumped on the back of the wagon and taken the little chips of ice and enjoyed them a great deal.
Those were good times for children, I think. You also mentioned that there was a one-room schoolhouse nearby, and could you tell me about that?
I don't know much about the schoolhouse. It was out back here, back of my house.
What streets now?
And on Oak Street. And I have someplace, and I was going to look it up, but I didn't have time. The men that was on the school committee that bought the land across the way where Annie Fales taught. And then that schoolhouse went down in the hurricane.
In 1938?
Yes. And my husband's father, John Bowman, bought the old schoolhouse that was out back here and moved it on here, and that's what I'm using for a kitchen.
So you have a schoolhouse for a kitchen?
A schoolhouse for a kitchen.
And the one that was across the street from you then, which was alongside
the
turnpike?
Right there, no, not by the turnpike, right out here in Oak Street.
Right on
Oak Garage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right out there, and it went down in the hurricane.
Could you tell me the story of Annie Fales the day that she came across the field?
Yes, she came across the field, and she told me this so many, many times, and she said it was a stormy day. She used to walk over across the fields to the school, and Grandma Bowman used to give her hot soup if it was a cold day or something hot to drink, and she came over this day, and she got pretty well soaked coming in the storm. And Mother said, come in and I'll fix you up. Well, Mother Bowman was a big woman, and Annie Fales was a little 2x4. And she came in, and Mother put this skirt on and a blouse and wrapped the skirt around her and drew it in somewhere. And Annie says, would you know it? She says, that was the day the principal came to school to call on us.
Naturally. And the teachers then had to be very friendly with the people around them. There weren't many other houses here at that time.
No, there was only two. This house and where John Higgins lived down there. That was Bob Higgins' father.
Mm-hmm.
The Higginses all lived down there. And I think those were the only two. Well, my brother-in-law lived in the other, where he lived, mm-hmm. in the other house. So there was only two or three houses around here. And then Macca's house, the old house down below.
Okay.
It was burned here a little while ago in the fire, a year or so ago.
Were they mostly farms then?
Most
around
of them
this
was,
area?
Oh, yes. There's all farms around here, yeah.
And around Lake Chauncey there was?
Yes, farms all around here.
And Lake Chauncey, what do you remember when it was a park?
Oh, we enjoyed that very much. We used to go down Saturday nights. So Thursday night, they would have the Collins Orchestra quite often if there was a special dance on. And Saturday night was especially, we'd go down on the trolley car from town. And enjoy dancing, and there was no drinking or anything that I know of, anything of. I never knew anything like that. There was a place you could buy popcorn, stuff mm-hmm. like that. And
a lot of young men and women go.
Oh,
the kind
yes,
of festa.
It was for all the people, crowd from town, the young people from town mm-hmm. used to go down. And always enjoyed riding on the trolley car. And the one that got the chance to sit on front of the moment thought he was bigger than, or she was bigger than anyone else.
Now, these trolley cars, they run horse-drawn?
No,
they were
these were regular trolleys.
With the electric cable and
yes,
everything.
Yes, yeah.
And
they went from here to Marlboro and back again.
And were they open or closed?
Well, in the summertime, they were open. The seats went right across and a running board on the side where the conductor collected your fare.
And he came up on the outside?
On the outside, on the running board. That was in the summertime. In the wintertime, they were closed. They had the closed.
And the fun when you were younger would be sitting up next to the motorman. Yeah, all right. We will now record Katie Allen doing something. Hello, I'm Katie Allen. Would you like to hear the song of Michael Finnegan? Oh, that's nice. I'm glad you do. There once was a man named Michael Finnegan. He had a wife named Mrs. Finnegan. She cried out, where have you been again? Poor old Michael Finnegan, and stop. Thank you very much.
And into the stuff. And he'd hang them on there to sell. And there was also...
Did he do repairs at all, do you know, or he mostly selling?
No, I never knew that he did. No, just selling tins.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he got his name, Tin Peddler. And then there was the old fellow, dirty as dirty could be, and if he ever come in the yard, no, I'd run and hide it. He's so scared. But he was dirty, and... But we used to buy from, thought nothing of it. He sold a horseradish in one bucket, great big bucket about that big. Horseradish in one and hulled corn in the other. And
could you tell me what hulled corn is?
Well, it's field corn, and we used to make it ourselves quite often. You put it to soak a little bit, and then you put down, we had a big iron kettle, and we put it in the big iron kettle with cold water to start it, with wood ashes. We put the wood ashes in a bag, a salt bag, one of those cloth bags of salt used to come in. And we let it cook as long as till it got fairly soft. Then you took it out and rinsed it thorough until you got those little black specks out of the eye of the corn. And then you put it back and cooked it with a little bacon soda. And it was delicious. You used to eat it with sugar and milk.
And it was fluffy, right? White and fluffy, do
yes.
you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this man, though, would sell it already cooked?
He would sell it already cooked,
but
yes.
You did your own.
We did our own afterwards,
that's
yeah.
smart.
But you had to have a certain kind of corn. You had to have a field corn to mm-hmm. do it.
Okay, so we had the Tin Man and the Ice Man. And
then we had a man used to come around with a big covered wagon that sold all kinds of cloth and, some house dresses and things like that, but mostly cloth. And we used to buy the unbleached sheeting and make our sheets and bleach them out, pillow cases and bleach them out. They wore about three times as long as your material does today.
And, How often would he come?
He usually came, well, if I can remember correctly, it seems so about every 3 weeks. Perhaps
that's quite a bit.
Not quite so often, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere's around there.
Can you tell me what Route 9 was like? Maybe, when was this, 1910,
1915? Yes, it was nothing but a plain dirt road that went up through. And when they changed it over to what it is now, the paved road, they had to make all these little side roads come in straight. Because this road here that goes from here didn't have a name on it even, from Oak Street to the turnpike, didn't have any name. And it had a curve up at the old Boynton place. Mm-hmm. So they took that curve out and straightened it, and then it had to have a name on it. So my daughter and her husband, Harry Woodman, were living here over there at the time, across the street. And they said, well, what do we call it? Well, Harry says, name it Woodman Avenue. So that's where it got its name, Woodman Avenue. And they straightened all those little streets, and down here didn't have any name. Going from here over to Chauncey didn't have a name, so they put Chauncey Circle, I think that
that's
is
right. And when it wasn't paved, what was the traffic like?
Oh, it was horse and buggy days then, and in fact, I know my brother-in-law used to go to Worcester on his egg route, and when he got all through with the egg route, he'd be tired, so he just wrapped the reins around the whipple tree and tell the horse to go, and the horse would bring him home safe.
That's wonderful.
There was no cars to bother him renting, the horse knew the way home.
There weren't too many people then going from Worcester to Boston, and Boston to Worcester on this... they went by train, perhaps, or trolley.
Yes, more
at the time.
By train, yes.
So actually, Route 9 then was a quieter
time.
There did
come in later. The trolley is over there back of Gannon's place, mm-hmm. where the trolley went through and comes out up by that big restaurant up there.
Mm-hmm.
The old trolley goes up through there, through there.
All right. That's strange to think of Route 9 being a quiet horse and buggy place.
Well, it was under a plain dirt road and hills and very much so.
Do you remember anything about the Lyman School?
Not too much.
Didn't see too much of the boys.
Well, we had a little trouble. Not too much, though. We had very little trouble. We had more trouble with them at the last few years that they were there.
There was a big farm there, wasn't there?
Oh,
they
yes,
worked?
It was a big farm, and there was a man that rode around in the Boss Farm. He used to ride around the horse and buggy, and he always sat with one leg hanging out of the buggy. And he took care of it. He was very strict, and they had good discipline. Mr. Keeler was up there then and had good discipline, and beautiful work. They had a beautiful orchestra, and our band, I should say, and the boys did wonderful cooking and a great deal of farm work.
They were trained to do farming?
Trained to do beautiful work up there.
Good.
And in their artwork and carpentering work was all wonderful, and that was all taken away from at the last.
Yeah, it's too bad because the trades are important.
And the boys loved it. They loved every bit of it. And instead of sitting out under the tree doing nothing, as they did at the last of it, they were trained in their work and doing things. And they had exhibition day once a year. And it was just marvelous to see the work and things that they could do.
They did carpentry, farming, anything else you know?
And
printing, did they do?
Yes, they did printing. They did all kinds, everything that they needed for a trade, they did it.
So.
And each boy, as he liked his work, was taught to do it.
That's
and
very good.
They loved working out in the barn. They loved the animals. And, they didn't care so much for the farm work itself, but they liked being in the barn and the like of that.
Great.
Being around the animals.
That's good to know. Let's talk a little bit about your farm. You had a dairy here.
We had about 50 milking cows.
50 milking cows. And you said you sold your milk to a big milk company?
Deerfoot.
And would they come around to collect it?
Yes, they sent, well, of course, at the first of it, they didn't. My husband used to have to take it downtown to the depot and put it on the train down there.
I see.
You'd have to wait around for the train to come in, and they'd take the milk there.
Every morning was this?
Every morning it was taken down, but of course the last of it, by the truck used to come around and pick it up.
I sometimes wonder why Milk Street's called Milk Street. I sometimes think it's because they brought the milk in on that route. Do you know why?
I don't know why that got the name Milk Street. I suppose they just have to name the street after something.
But there were a lot of dairies in Westboro at that time.
There were a great many dairies. Yes.
And a
Westboro
lot of
Westboro was really a dairy place, but now there's, I think, only two or three.
That's right. But at that, when you remember, and this is around, when was this that you were working?
Well, this, I came into Westboro 60, well, I came down here on the farm 62 years ago.
All right. So this would be in the early 1900s, 1916, 1915, that
yeah.
all this dairy work was going
yeah.
on. Could you describe a little bit about what your daily life would be on the dairy before things were done by machine?
Well, you get up in the morning and...
how many children did you have?
Six.
Six children.
And you put up all the lunch. There was no lunches given at the school. You put their six lunches up. And they had to walk down to Lyman Street to get the trolley car at that time. And after they went, I'd get busy and I'd make donuts or something. And if I didn't get my washing going on Monday morning, I'd have it done and out on the line to the time the milkman and the fellas get in from the barn. And other mornings, I'd make donuts and they'd come in and have hot donuts for breakfast.
How many men now would there be working?
Well, they're just my husband and his son.
Okay.
Because at the first one, there was just him alone. He was alone until Norman got old enough. Norman and Glenda. And then you had to get your breakfast dishes done. You might get a chance to get something else done. If not, you had to get out and help sow some of the seed or rake up hay so the men could get it in the barn. And you had to sometimes get on the load and tread it. And
now, wait, you have to go slowly for me. Getting on what load and treading what?
Well, they pitch the hay up with a pitchfork. They put the hay onto the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd get up on top and tread it.
Push it down.
On one corner, and then they'd holler, get the other corner now. So I'd get on that corner and tread it down. Good thing I could walk better than I can today.
Jumping up on the hay wagon. And how did they cut the hay?
Hoss. They had, they'd have two
A
horses.
Reaper or whatever it was.
And they had a machine that had a long knife on it.
Blade.
And they'd cut it that way.
With the horse pulling it.
Yeah. And then I'd go out and rake it. I'd have to rake it, and it had a foot treadle on it that you'd rake so far, and then you'd dump it, and then you'd rake further.
Now, what is this rake like that had a foot treadle?
Well, it had two big wheels, and then on the back it was all these
prongs,
like a fork. And all the way across it, and I'd rake it. The only thing I dreaded that was a hornet come up, starting a sting in the horse, and the horse would run, else I'd be afraid he'd stick his foot into a woodchuck hole. And then they'd bring the hay in, and the men would go up in the barn with the load of hay, and I'd go out back and the horse, and they had a big rope come down that had a hook on it. And I'd hook it on the whipple tree for the horse.
Now, whipple tree, what is a whipple
it's
tree?
It's a stick about that wide, and it has a hook on it. And I'd put the...
And where was it?
It was in the back of the horse, right in the back of the horse. And
behind the horse, you mean, so that to hold the reins?
Yeah, I'd hold the reins. I'd walk and put this great big hook into that, and I'd lead him out as far as the hen house and unhook it. They, by that time, they dumped the hay. That would pull the hay up with
mm-hmm.
this great big fork.
I see.
And when they dumped it, then I'd unhook it and bring the horse back and have to do it over.
I see.
And I hated it. Every minute of it.
Now, when you bring the horse back and hook him up, you mean you're going out to get some more hay? Is that what you're saying?
When
or
I
no?
bring him back and hook it up, they would be putting another load, putting the fork down to get another load.
Oh, and then you leave him.
Leave him out, and he pulls it up into the hayloft, and...
I see. You're using the horsepower to pull him up, and you're leading him away so that he will...
He pulls the hay up.
He will work the pulley and pull the hay up.
Yeah.
Now I understand. As far as taking care of the cows, what kind of work
nothing,
had to be...
Nothing.
You didn't do anything?
I never did anything. I hated a cow. We scared to death.
Oh, Mrs. Bowman. And you lived with 50 cows for
I
so many
them.
Years?
We'd change pastures. When they go change pastures, my husband would say, "Will you stand out there so they won't go back out to that same place again?" And I'd get a great long pole and stand out there and swing it. One cow would look at me. I'd drop the pole and run for the house.
What a farmer's wife you were, as far far as the cows went.
If I went in the barn and they were down at the further end, the men were, and the cow would stick a long tongue out, I'd get way over next to the wall as far as I could because I was petrified.
Oh, my. Even, you know, you spent so many years with them. Huh? What about the milking? Then you had just the two men doing the milking?
Yeah. Well, my husband was here alone for years until Norman was old enough to help.
And that was twice a day?
Yeah.
Early in the morning? Yeah. Remember what time in the morning?
Oh, he'd go out around half past 5, 6 o'clock.
Half past 5, and then again at night at the same time, around half past 5, half past 6?
Yeah. Had to be done just at a certain time.
Then did the raw milk, anything be done with that before you could sell it?
No, we never touched it. No, and every one of my children were brought up on it. And Norman went away to college, and Ethel went in the service, and now Glenn went in the service. And they passed 100% perfect test with raw milk.
With good raw milk.
And they had it all their life, but it was taken care of, put right in on the ice. I mean, it was milk.
All right, so as soon as they
milk it, they put it right in the great big tank with a big hunk of ice.
Now, there was a big milk tank, and the ice was, where was the ice? Outside the tank?
The ice was in the milk, in the ice house. We had a big ice house out there.
Right. But but was it, now, when you had the milk in the tank, is the ice on top or below the tank or around
it? It was all water in the tank.
Oh, all right.
Put the ice in the water.
I see. All right. This kept
Before that, we had a well out back here, out front here, I should say, just beyond the door here. And that's where they used to cool their milk years ago before I came down.
They put it in the big cans or something?
Big cans and drop it down with a rope down.
So if it's kept cool. And then Mr. Bowman would take the raw milk to the depot
mm-hmm.
right away.
And the train would pick it up.
And bring it to Boston, probably.
Southborough, I think.
Southborough.
At that time, I think. Now, I won't say about that, but it went to Southborough or Boston.
And then the big farms, Deerfoot Farms, would pick it up and process it or whatever they were going to do with
it. That's right, yeah.
That's okay. Now, as far as doing washing and everything, did you do it by hand?
I certainly did.
How'd you do it?
Well, I put a boiler on the stove and put my clothes in it and had a wooden stick and you pull them up and down until they got boiled good. And then you take them out of the wooden, wrap them around the wooden stick and take them out into a pan and put them in your tub and scrub.
This, oh my, a lot of work. So you had
to wring them by hand and you had a wringer on your tub, your other tub, and you turned it by hand and you wrung your clothes out by hand.
That is the most amazing thing. And you had 6 children, and that's 8 in your family.
You took your own one and do your washing.
I'm sure it would.
I not only had 8, but I took in others to stay with me that needed a place to live, a place for a home.
So you were?
So there was always probably 10, 12, 14 at the table.
Oh, my. To cook and to wash for all those people.
And I made one cake and possibly 2 every day.
Good for you.
Because I had to have one on the table and I had to have one for lunch boxes.
Oh my, what a lot of work. When we think that we have work to do today, it's nothing compared to the amount of hard hand labor that you had to do.
And I used to can. Mm-hmm. I put anywhere from 150 to 2 quarts of stuff up every year. It had to go into quart jars because of a big family.
Mm-hmm.
And no pint jars. I put up 50 quarts of tomatoes easy because we used to use a lot of tomatoes.
Oh my. And these are all you grew them all and
all
then you would
place, yeah.
Pick them and.
And the nice thing about it, my husband was the type that when it come to peas and things like that, it was a short season. He wanted the first eating off of it. He'd always sell them, but he wanted the first one to have the good part.
Ah, good. All right. So you got the good ones.
So here's me.
Mrs. Bowman, you said that part of your job on the farm was to take the horses down to be shoed. How did that work?
Well, it didn't work very good because I hated it. And I was just as afraid of a horse as I was a cow.
Are these big farm workhorses then?
Oh, yeah. Rebels Street, Mr. Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd take him down there, take the horse down there, and while he was being shot, I'd go downtown to walk downtown, do the errands, and go back and get it and bring it home. And I used to hate it, something terrible. And every time they asked me to go, I'd make an awful fuss about it, but I went just the same.
How often do horses have to be shod then?
Well, it depends on how much they use in their shoes. In the wintertime, they have to go down and have the big cock shoes put in. They put, like, big cocks, steel cocks in the shoe to keep from slipping on the ice.
I see. So they had special winter shoes for ice, for gripping.
And then when the foot begins to grow away, they have to have the shoes changed, like that. So
that was...
We used to, when we'd go out to ride, we had one horse that was pretty scary. He was afraid of a shadow, he was afraid of a puddle in the road, and anything like that. And I was petrified, and I've known my husband to have to wrap the reins around his hand to hold him back. He just was crazy, that's all. We went over to Northboro one night, riding over through there. They were working on the road, and they put up these, we call them horses, those stands, you know, they put up. And he was afraid to go by, and he jacked the wagon up. So they, men going by had to stop and take them all down so we could get the eyes. Well, we got tipped out.
Personality of a horse could be a problem there. So most of the time you went around with a horse and wagon to get places, did you?
Oh, we always did, yes, everywhere.
If you
at that time, felt pretty special to ride in a horse and wagon because a lot of people didn't have them around in the center of town. They didn't have them, just only the farms that had them.
So you could get around places and they
that's
were stuck, it. Really.
Yeah, that's right. We used to go to over to Upton to the fair. They had the old Upton Fair over there then. And we'd go over to the supper and go stay to the dance at night and come home.
On your wagon.
The dark road. I wouldn't come over that dark road now in a horse and wagon.
In those days it was all right, though. Did you ever have any sleighs? Did you see sleighs?
Oh, yes.
Did you tell me what they were like?
Just beautiful. They'd get in the sleigh and you'd take a big fur lap robe. I just threw it out here a couple of years ago. I had it just up in the attic. And I threw it out. It had a big hole in it come around in your bag, so you part of it is in your bag, you slip it over your head, you know, and then the rest would come up all over.
So it really fit you, this fur robe.
Round all around you, yes. And you'd bundle yourself right up in it.
How many people in a sleigh would fit?
Well, we had just the two, the one seat.
So you have two people in this?
Yeah.
Two people. And
of
one horse?
The pung had the back part that they used to carry things in.
Okay, wait a second, let's still go on the sleighs. You'd have probably two people sitting on one seat,
yeah.
All wrapped up with the fur robes and everything, and one horse usually drive.
One horse. That, yeah.
And sleigh bells sometimes?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was the beauty of it. But the big pung, my husband used to take the sleigh rides, the kids on sleigh rides, you know.
Now, a pung is a, tell me what a pung is.
A long, great long way, well, not,
sled,
not
like.
A sled, yes, and with four runners. And he'd have two horses on that.
It was flat and
yeah.
Made of wood, was
and
it?
Yes, mm-hmm. And he put hay in it, and the kids would all bundle up and get in down in that hay and be taken for a sleigh ride around different places.
What fun. And what else did they use the pung for gathering wood, maybe?
Oh, yes, getting wood and anything that was needed on the farm. And then they used to put two plows on the side, one on each side, and the town used to hire him to plow out the roads that way. Put two horses on, and sometimes the drifts would be high enough so that they'd have to break them down for the horses to get through. And I've seen them come up the road where you couldn't just barely see the top of a horse coming up the road.
Oh my,
the
that
drifts
was that
would be
high.
So high. But they put the two plows, one on each side.
Of the pump.
Yeah, of the pump. And that would break the road. So.
I never even thought of how they did it in those days for horse and wagon,
the
but they had to use a sled and horses.
The pump with the two plows on.
Hmm. And as far as getting wood and everything, you'd have to... Did you go and cut your own wood out in the woods?
This barn out here is all the rafters and everything in it is made from what was our wood lot up there, where the Westinghouse is now, mm-hmm. and the skating rink and all them.
Right.
The wood was all up there. They cut it all up and took it over to Upton, not Upton, but someplace over there that there's a wood sawmill.
Oh, a sawmill, all right.
And they took it over there and had it... cut up the length they wanted.
Made into boards?
Yeah.
To
and
build?
This barn out here. We had the big barn was torn down. We had a big 100-foot barn up there. When Chase bought the place, he tore that down.
That's where your cows, the 50-head cows were?
Some of them were there.
And, well, then you would use the wood for heating, too, then, right?
Oh, yes. We had all
wood stoves and chimneys?
We had coal downstairs and wood in the kitchen.
So you were cooking all the time on a
wood stove? But we used to, you could use the oven for hours and you wouldn't notice it like you do with gas and oil.
That's why they could bake beans and things.
I'd give anything for a good dish of home baked beans now.
On a wood stove over a long period of time, right. Yeah. It must have tasted better and
You could put them in the morning. You let them soak overnight and put them in the pot in the morning and fix them up and put them in, let them bake until
night. What do
you,
a little molasses and pork and...
Molasses, pork and brown sugar and salt. Bake them all day. Keep adding a little water to them as they dried out.
And because your stove is just being stoked all the time with the wood, you could just keep it going as warm as you want?
Yeah.
And different parts would be different heat?
Well,
right?
I used to, when we had a lot of milk on hand, I used to sour some of it and put it on the back of the stove and make cottage cheese.
How do you make cottage cheese?
Just sour your milk and it curdles. You take the cream off and use the other part, and it curdles.
It curdles by itself as it gets warm?
If you do it very slow, it's just a slow process.
Low heat, kind of all the time?
I put it on the back of the stove, yeah.
How long does it take to get then?
Well, it depends. If you keep it going, I used to let it stay there most all day.
And
keep it going.
It would be all right by the evening, let's say, to have his cottage cheese?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I knew that it was curds and curdled, but I didn't know exactly how it was done. So it's lightly cooked. And very light. And you said about making your own butter sometimes. How
When we went into the test, the TB test, we had one cow that showed up. So we had to stop selling milk until the bag had cleaned up.